The League of the Extraordinary Ladies. At first, they kind of laughed. Then they called them a cult. Then they accused them of corruption. And when it was all over, most called them the Founding Mothers. We didn't live under a threat of nuclear war. The models predicted the war as 100% certain. This is what happens when one generation passes on to the next mutually assured destruction. It didn't take computer models. It didn't require an imagination. War only needs time, guns, and borders. For uneducated humans, war is a certainty. War is where we all come from. The models predicted that it would take decades, nearly a century, to reach a stable disarmament. One of the greatest problems that humanity faces is born of group cohesion. When we lived in tribes, automatic self-indoctrination ensured tribe stability. When the world connected, accepting the cultures and beliefs of the local group we were born into divided us from the rest, creating borders. The threat of nuclear war grew, and it was not disarmament, but leaving all the bad ideas behind that would make all the difference. Abandoning invisible indoctrination and leaving imperceptibly bad ideas behind can only occur on generation by generation level. The generations with cultures holding bad ideas needed to retire out of old age. And the more realistic, more educated, wiser, and humane culture was to take over. No abrupt changes could be made without conflict. Out of love for all life and humanity, this was the first project to require over 100 years of work. And so, sweetly, one of the girls said that this would require the work of a league. The League of Extraordinary Ladies! Another one jokingly proclaimed in a grumbly tone. And the universe did smile. The models revealed that political borders and nationalism in a nation armed with nuclear weapons would result in a high probability of nuclear war as each generation is indoctrinated into the worst ideas of the previous. The most terrifying model prediction was that as more and more get lost in translation between consecutive generations, the probability of nuclear war approached 100%. And as all heroines do, the League of the Extraordinary Ladies set off on a multi-generational promise to save the world. The weakness of the ease with which we accept the culture we are born into as true and perfect was going to be addressed by a novel educational program. Volunteers would create free, open, unbranded library of audiobooks out of the works in public domain. And the website would stitch these works together into audio lectures with the aid of speakers, poets, and teachers. Celebrities, well-known authors, even movie stars would contribute their time, voice, and patience to create what became the greatest work of art that by far exceeded even the most romantic descriptions of the Library of Alexandria. A number of authors donated their works to the school. Students participating in the free, self-paced, open curriculum school had access to Sagan, Bryson, DeGraw, and pretty much all the others. By 2050, it was the only school taken seriously. because it was the only school that resulted in students showing great results. The school brought the world together in knowledge and wisdom. And as predicted, in less than 150 years from the initial inception, the borders fell. A new and more informed nuclear disarmament program was born that decades after resulted in cessation of weapons manufacturing of all kind throughout Europe and Asia. These seemingly fantastic, impossible goals of world peace were achieved by helping humanity converge on wisdom by means of books made more accessible by narrators. Providing superior education to the children of a nation, whilst letting their parents live out culture they were born into, is a form of infinite kindness. It is a form of love. Rather than children inheriting just the culture of their parents and the nation they were born to, by participating in the Global Progressive Advancement Program, they also inherited the best ideas and wisdom from humanity's most beloved books. World peace was reached by taking advantage of our susceptibility to cultural indoctrination, to blindly and without a question accepting ideas of the world we are born into. This was not a trick, but a much-needed medicine and vaccine that prevented mutually assured destruction. We simply added knowledge and wisdom to the culture and spirit of times of all the nations. The first and foremost force of the educational program was not knowledge. It was reality. Something that corruption and decay is incapable of using for its advantage. The reality of the human condition is that we all yearn for wisdom and meaning and love and kinship and belonging. It mattered not if it was two boys that Father Gregory Boyle was raising, or two nations that hated each other in starvation for wisdom. Once they had access to wisdom, reality helped to unravel their misunderstandings and helped them grow. The League of the Extraordinary Ladies didn't stop at nuclear disarmament. Their granddaughters ended poverty. They did so by now the age-old tradition of using weakness to fight weakness. They ended poverty by means of poverty. It was a micromanagement and micropayment transaction platform, distributed on smart tablets that helped communities of the world trade services. The adoption of the platform was hastened by the fact that no money was made from these transactions by the hosting company. If someone needed a car ride or grocery delivery, housework, or a tutor to help their kids with math, there was always someone 10 minutes away that would help. One of the unintended features of this program was local pantry, a feature originally intended for trading foodstuffs that later became a place to feed the hungry. The trading platform also helped to place the homeless in unused hotels and apartments in such a way that they had easy access to caretakers, teachers, therapists, and a chance at a better future. It is hard to say what prevented humanity as a whole from coming together like these friends did. But it is easy to see that it was internet that helped communities collaborate and communicate better. We needed programs to help us talk to each other and cut out the middleman. We needed programs that helped cities become more independent and stop relying on the state and nation that by contrast meant little. and we needed to begin thinking in decades, in centuries, because our problems do not end with us. And what we leave behind is easily misunderstood. What was originally created as a deterrent, come future, in chaos, in poverty, in haste, given all that is lost in translation, will eventually become the tool that it really is.